Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you this morning. It's thawed out.
It is.
It has thawed out. Of course, we're going to get some rain, but I can handle that. So, and we say we'd showers of blessings, okay? Good to see each, every one of you here this morning. All right, for some announcements, let me take care of that. At Men's Fellowship, Saturday the 21st, they're going to take a day trip to the museum at the Marine Corps in Quantico. And they'll depart at 7:30, and we'll stop for breakfast on the way. Sign up sheets in the fellowship hall if you still want to go and you haven't signed up. Please sign up. Senior Saints Ministry, Monday the 23rd at 7. Deacon WMA meetings, Tuesday the 3rd at 7 p.m. And the MTBA paragraph, that conflicts with our meetings. But anyway, church business meeting at Wednesday the 4th at 7 p.m., Youth Committee Sunday the 8th following service, Spring Cleanup Saturday, March 14th at 8, join in the Fellowship Hall and refresh and care for the building and grounds. All help is appreciated. See Jackie if you have any questions. And WMA Fundraising Luncheon. Ooh, we're going to eat again, okay? if you weren't here Friday night, you missed a good one.
Amen.
All right. So Sunday, March the 15th, after worship service in the Fellowship Hall, your donation will be available to WMA to continue in many faith-based projects. Please direct any questions to Annette Bowles. Any other announcements? Anything? All right, I got one other thing here. I have a little card. It says, thank you for all your continued help and support. God bless you all. Thank you so much. This is Janet and William Billy Sanders. And, you know, we've helped them, and they really appreciate it. So, anyway, let's keep up the good work.
They were here to eat shrimp, too.
Huh?
They came to eat shrimp, too.
Yeah, they were here Friday night to eat shrimp. Yeah, they were. And I got a chance to talk to Billy a few minutes. He's doing better. He's doing better. So, anyway, he's coming along. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time to be together, to be in fellowship one with another and with you, and to know that you have done many great and wonderful things for us, and we look forward to more great and wonderful things, especially in this service as we wait upon your voice to feel your spirit speaking to us and moving us towards a more committed life to you and to your work in the world. And we pray all that we do here this morning is according to your glory and your will as we come in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
4. Stand as we sing. I promise you won't be fast as that one was.
Everybody, let the children come, and I see some today, and I'm all excited, and I bet they're going to beat me down there. I'm moving a little slowly these days. I got a bum knee, but that happens. Good morning. Hey, guys. Hey, Travis. Good to see you, man. How you been doing? I'm glad you're here. Toby. Mr. Birthday from last week. Toby told me he's this many now. Everybody doing well? Good. It's good to see everybody. How's your week been? I've seen some of you this week, but not all of you. Hey, I got a question. Have any of you guys ever just had a bad day? No. No. It's really good to be Johnny. I have always said that. You've had a bad day every now and then? You know, I did too. Let me tell you about something. Let me confess to everybody here about my heart. Yesterday I had a pity party. You know what that is? That's when you're feeling down and bad and you think everything is against you. And you're just... nothing's going your way, at least you don't think it is. And I had one of those days, Johnny. I'm not like you. I'm not smiling all the time. I'm trying my best. And you know what? Just seeing that smile right now helps that pity party a lot. I had one of those days yesterday where I just wanted to stay home and watch my ball game, but I knew I had responsibilities and I had to go places and do things and things weren't going my way. And I'd reach here, and I should have been reaching here. Things like that. And then I got home last night. Oh, goodness gracious. My wife, Miss Shelley, as soon as we got home from the long day, she fell in the backyard and twisted her ankle, so she's going to be home for a few days. And, you know, the pity party in me said, wasn't thinking about my wife. It's like, now I'm going to be home the next 2 or 3 days. Isn't that terrible the way we do that? Then it was time to get ready to talk to you kids. And I looked up what the pastor's message is today. And he's talking about a man named Job. And suddenly I had what we call a come to Jesus moment. my life is blessed. And let me tell you about this guy named Job. Job had it all. He, talk about a family, he had 10 kids. He had 10 children. He had a wife and this huge house and this. He had cattle. He had sheep. He had everything. Life was good. And then one by one, he started having problems. He started losing this and losing that. And next thing you know, he's crying out to his Lord, "Why me, Lord? Why?" But the Lord gave him patience. The Lord said, "Continue to believe in me. Continue to trust in me, and you will get through this." And it was tough. Have you ever had those tough days where you're just, maybe you're in your room crying or upset and like, "I don't know if I can handle this"? Well, Job was that way. But guess what? He did. Yeah, sometimes. Job's like that. Guess what? You're being told on, Job. But you know what? But you know what? We get through that, and the Lord has us. And we have been told to trust in the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. And I just want you guys to remember that we can get through things. I had a bad day yesterday, but it was nothing compared to what some people go through. All right, so to help you remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart, guess what I brought for you guys today? Hearts. And I want you guys to remember that the Lord has your heart. Go ahead and reach in and grab one. All right. You can have one too. All right. And you know, this is a bit, and I want to share that with everyone here, not just the kids. Toby, reach in and grab one. And when you guys get in the back room, you can trade or swap if you don't like what you grabbed. Travis, you grab one. I'm honest. I had a day yesterday, and it's going to sound funny, but I was looking forward to my basketball game, but I had responsibilities. But I did get to see my basketball game, and we were winning by 5 points with 30 seconds to go, and we still lost. And I'm thinking, has my life come to this that I'm going to be so upset about a little basketball game? And then I get home and I'm still pouting and fussing. And then Shelly falls and twists her ankle. And then I go pull up the pastor's sermon and it's about Job. Now, if that doesn't give you a chill, if that doesn't give you a feeling, it's not about me. All right? We all know that. We all know that. All right. Hey, guys. Johnny, let me say a little prayer for you, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. It is about you. We've been told and we have learned to trust you with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. We know that through you, anything and everything is possible. Amen. All right, guys, go forth. Travis, it's so good to see you. And Michelle, I certainly can. You're welcome, Michelle. It's good to see you. Hey, look who it is. I got one for you. Here, how about I pick out one with a pretty puppy on it for you? There you go. You'll be okay. She came to join us the other night for shrimp dinner. It was such a wonderful time. It was such a wonderful event, and hopefully you got a chance to attend, and if you didn't, you were missed. So I shared my own personal pity party, and I'm not going to go into the details, but it is amazing how the Lord works if we open our eyes. I've got a card with lots of names of people going through a tough time. Drew, so good to see you here. How's Joe recovering? We've talked about it in church. How's he recovering? Okay. He remains in our thoughts and prayers. Drew lost another toe this week, and he's struggling with things. Ed's got a cancer treatment coming up, a little chemo treatment. We hope that goes well. There's so many people on this card. And it's really sad to think I have a bad day just because my team's not winning or because I don't want to go somewhere or do something. All right. Please keep everybody, lift them up. Does anybody have anything they want to bring to the attention? I'm sorry to hear that. I have family in Raleigh, so if you need a resource or something, let me know. I'll be glad to get in touch. Anybody else have anything to share? I hope everybody had a pleasant Valentine's Day. And as we know, it's not about us, is it, Pastor?
No.
It's not. All right, blessings to everybody.
You know, we asked the question, right? It's just, you think, why me? Why not? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are here this morning. We thank you we're here because of what you've done for us. That is the giving of your Son to give us eternal life. And we thank you that he's there intercessing for us, our go-between between us and you, and to know that he is giving his best for us and help us to try to give the best we can for him. And as we think today about all the things, the problems and things that we go through in life, to think about knowing that you're there to see us through them, to comfort us and to guide us, and to know what is at the end of the road that is your eternal kingdom. And in the meantime, help us to understand and help us to learn. And we pray, Father, for those in our prayer list, those we've mentioned that are suffering from some sickness, some disease, recovering from some injury. We pray that your healing hand would be upon each of them and give them the comfort of knowing that you're in their lives and that you're working with them and caring for them. Let them feel your love in a special way. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to be sensitive to those that we come in contact with each day, to know that the Holy Spirit gives us opportunities to share the gospel, to share our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may we take those opportunities. And we pray now all that we do and say go according to your will and glory as we come in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Okay, our offertory hymn this morning is 406 Wonderful Words of Life. We sing the first and third verses. Stand as we sing.
Wonderful words of life. We sing that. I think there's two ways to take that. First off, the words itself, and then the word that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And to remember just how wonderful things are when he's our Lord and Savior. And to know that he needs our help. We are his feet, his hands in this world. And part of that, what we do is we give back a portion of what he's blessed us with to help support our church and to support our ministries and to support the ministries of our Southern Baptist Convention and our great missions programs to see that more people get to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So let's remember that as we give this prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to give back to you what you've so greatly blessed us with. And we pray that it will be used to touch the lives of others, to touch them in a way that they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we pray your blessings now upon the gift and the giver as we give in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. That you don't know the Lord's Prayer. There was an elderly couple. They walked into McDonald's and sat down near some younger folks having dinner. The husband went up to the counter and ordered one meal, brought it back to the table. He unwrapped the burger, carefully cut it in half, gave half to his wife. Then he gently counted out the fries and split them evenly. He placed two straws in the drink and set it between them. She started eating her half of the burger while he just sat there watching her eat with so much love. He'd take tiny sips of the drink now and then, but he didn't touch the food. You could feel the people in the room noticing. It was so sweet, but also tugged at their hearts a little bit. Eventually, a young man got up and kindly ordered to buy them another meal so they wouldn't have to share. The wife smiled and said, "Oh, thank you, but we're used to sharing everything." Still, the husband hadn't eaten a single bite. The young man came back and again offered once more. This time, the husband smiled and said, "We really do share everything." The young man hesitated. Then he said, "But sir, what are you waiting for?" And with a grin on his face, the old man said, "My turn with the teeth." You know, we hear these, what they call health and wealth TV preachers. Here's the story how it might go. I was an alcoholic. I abused my wife and children. I ended up in a divorce. And then later I found Jesus, and now I have a blonde for a wife and drive a big Cadillac. Have you heard those kind of stories? You know, many people see God as a vending machine. What do you do in a vending machine? You put in the proper amounts of stuff, pull the right levers, and you get out what you want. Well, some people treat God that way. They think if they do and say certain things that God will do certain things. Another thing is that people foolishly blame God for their troubles. Let me tell you this. They blame God for taking a loved one in an accident. They blame God for sickness or disease. They blame God when they lose a job. Whatever it may come, they want to blame God for. They question God when they're suffering. They say, well, I've been faithful. I shouldn't have to go through this. What did I do to deserve this? Where did I go wrong? Then there's the question is, does it pay to be religious? Do we worship God because it pays off in some way? Will we keep our faith in the midst of suffering? So today I want us to look at Job. He's a model for the righteous sufferer. So let's look at Job chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12, but you might want to keep your Bible open because I'm going to refer to the rest of this chapter as we go. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one in his day, sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Job, a prosperous religious man. He was a good man. He was perfect. That means he was well-rounded. He had a sound character. He was a man of integrity. He was the kind of man that you could trust at his word and so forth. And he just showed forth that goodness in his life. He was upright. That meant he was a morally outstanding citizen. He was without moral deviation. He obeyed all the laws and tried all the things that he wanted to observe and to keep godly. He was reverent. He feared God. That is, he reverenced God. He worshiped God. He had a deep respect for God. He was what we would call religious. And this fear, his reverence for God, is what actuated his life. Jonathan Edwards, who was a pastor during the Great Awakenings back in a Congregational Christian Church up in New England, And when he was a young man and came to know the Lord, he wrote about 400 resolutions. And one of them was he resolved to live every hour of his life as if it was the last hour of his life. In other words, whatever went on, if he was, the Lord was to take him, he wouldn't be found doing something he'd be ashamed of when he stood before the Lord. It says that Job eschewed evil. I mean, he avoided it. He preferred to live the godly way. You know, how many times, though, do we put ourselves in the path of evil rather than avoid it? You know, one of the things that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer is to the Lord to direct us in the right direction. Keep us from evil. Things that are evil must be avoided at all cost. I read this story one time, some years ago. That this coal mine was open for people to visit and to give them a tour. And this young girl showed up in a white dress. And the coal miner that was giving the tour says, excuse me, ma'am, but you can't go in there with that white dress on. She says, no, I won't get anything on me. I won't touch any. He says, you don't understand. It's impossible to go in there and not get coal dust on you. You go into places where you ought not to be and get in the wrong path. And you think, well, I can withstand it. It's going to get on you. You need to avoid it. That's what he did. He avoided it. He was a prosperous man. He had a large family, 7 sons and 3 daughters. Can't imagine, you know, how many grandchildren he's going to have. Wealthy. 7,000 sheep. 3,000 camels. 500 yoke of oxen. 500 she-asses. And many servants. He was the greatest man of all the East. And he was the spiritual leader of his household. Brought his family up in the ways of the Lord. He was the priest to his family. This is what every man should be in his family. And he was concerned if he thought if any of his children had renounced God or had sinned. That concerned him greatly. Now, we got Satan. He goes before God and says, why is Job religious? Because God says, you know, have you considered him? Now, let's look at Satan just for a minute. He comes before God and says, where have you been? He says, I've been busy. He's always busy. But I want you to see something here. He's confined. He can't be everywhere all the time like God is. He can only be here, there, so forth. And God discusses Job with him. He says, he's a good man. There's none like him. I threw the mold away when I made him. And Satan's question is, well, he's got reason to be. You put a hedge around him. You protected him. He's been blessed materially. Take it away and let's see if he will curse you. So Satan was allowed to test Job. He says, you can take all of his possessions, but you can't take his life. Satan can only do what God will allow him to do. So now we have a catastrophe. Job is tested. There's economic disaster. We call that bankruptcy today. His oxen and asses were taken. The servants that took care of them were slain. This means he lost the means of his livelihood. It's like having farming equipment repossessed or the factory taken away from you if you own a factory. Whatever it means it is that you have to make your money, this was taken away from him. That sounds bad, doesn't it? But it's not bad enough. Lightning strikes. Takes the sheep and the servants from that. This is property loss due to natural disaster. I don't know about you, but I have my house in Matthews. I have to have flood insurance. If a flood comes in, if something, I'm covered. He didn't have that. He didn't have any insurance. Just when you think it can't get worse, you know, I've heard this. It's been some years back now. I don't know if any of you remember or not, but there was a bank in Richmond that was robbed twice in one day. But here's what happened to Job. Thieves took the rest. Camels and servants, like having your car stolen and no way to get to work, or no way to transport your goods, or it's like having a trucking company and losing all your trucks and your drivers. Bankrupt. Lost all he had worked so hard to get. Then, personal disaster. Tornado strikes the home, loses all 10 children. Bad enough to lose one, but to lose all 10. The loss of his sons was most important of all. Why? Because they are the ones that would carry on the name. Job was devastated. He had to be. And what else was there to lose? He'd done lost it all. And he mourned his loss. He's human. He loved his children and enjoyed his wealth. But listen to this. He worshiped God in the time of his greatest sorrow. He recognized God as the giver of all good things. Look what he said. I came into the world naked, and I'm going out naked. You can't take it with you. I've probably told you before, and Billy Graham said one time he'd never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. God gives, God takes. God is in control. Now, he does allow what goes on. But here's something. Job remained faithful. He had received a full measure of the testing of his faith. He couldn't have been tried any more than he was. Notice this. He did not sin. He didn't curse God. He didn't do like a lot of people do. He didn't go off and get drunk. He didn't foolishly blame God. God didn't take his possessions. Who took them? Satan took them. Satan sent the lightning and the thieves. Satan sent the tornado. Listen to this now. God does not pour booze down that drunk driver that goes out there and kills people. God did not do that. God doesn't rape women. He doesn't shoot people. He doesn't rob. We have the freedom to live our lives. We're not puppets on a string. Things happen because of, now here is the result, and it caused everything you want to blame it on goes back to a three-letter word. S-I-N. Evil. Sin and evil. Where did the evil come from? Came from Satan. He's the author of it. And they have taken their course ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Sin is taking its progression. Think about it. You go back and look at the Old Testament in those early days. How much longer did people live? Long time. What is Methuselah, 900 years? What we got? I can't imagine living to be 900. I know what it's feeling like the closer I get to 80 and 90 and so forth. Life started getting shorter as time went on. It got down to a point that man's life was even the shortest, but now we're getting a little bit of it back because of modern science. People are taking better care of themselves and so forth. And part of the problem now with a social security system is that less people are giving into it. There's less people, you know. But us in the baby boomer age and a little bit before are living longer. We're drawing it longer. Here's a question. Why are you religious? Is it because it pays? Is it because you get respect from other people? You expect people to respect you because you're a Christian? Does it look good on a job application or a resume? I had this when I was in church. I had a fellow in the congregation. He was a vice principal at a high school, and he wanted to be a principal so bad. And he wanted to become a deacon. We made him a deacon. That was that's another situation we won't get into. But the reason he wanted to be a deacon, of all things, it looked good on his resume. Feel good that God will give you financial preference, give you special favor. Is that why? Because you will be preserved? Feel that God will not let anything bad happen to you? Feel you don't have to face the tragedies of life? Feel you won't have to suffer any sickness or disease? Or is it because you're prosperous? Everything's going your way with the job, with your social life, your recreation, your retirement, whatever it may be. You got a good home, you got money, you got clothes, you got plenty of food. And God's not going to take it away. Here's the bottom line. Believers can suffer material loss. Look at the investments over the years. Up and down, up and down. And I was just reading the thing again. They think there's going to be another crash. Now, of course, they say it's too strong to fail with the controls they're having on it now. But a lot of people are going to lose their personal investments, their retirements. You can lose materially. You can be just like Job. You can be the greatest person, committed, faithful Christian, but you can suffer material loss. You can suffer physically. How many got COVID? We didn't do anything to cause it, did we? The flus, the bad flus that go around every year. Colds and other diseases that we get that's not directly blamed on anything that we have done. Heart problems, all of these different things. Now, there are some things that we can bring on, such as excessive drinking, smoking, and so forth like that, or getting out driving recklessly out here on the highway. But we can suffer physically. We need to be religious, not because it pays off materially, but it pays off spiritually. It pays off because we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we work and serve Him, and spiritually we will have eternal life. That's where it is. And know this, as a believer, your faith will be tested. You should be religious because God saved you. I had an ex-brother-in-law, I'll say ex because he was my wife's sister's first husband. And they ended up in a divorce. And sadly, here a few years ago, he passed away. The real sad part of it is, his name was Bill. Bill declared to be an atheist. He did not believe in God. And the reason he did not believe in God was, he said that a loving God would not have allowed our father-in-law to be killed in a terrible accident. But it wasn't God that caused that accident. It was a young idiot driving in excess of 85 miles an hour in a 45-mile speed zone and clipped another car, went airborne. I think I've told you, went airborne over his car, cut top off of it and so forth, and he was killed instantly. God didn't do that. You can't blame God. You need to trust Him through the good and the bad. I know sometimes, initially, all of a sudden I get real sick. Oh, Lord, why? And I realize, you know, it's going to happen. I got to go through it. Lord, help me get over it. But it's going to happen. Here's the question first. Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's the first thing you got to do. And when you're saved, you know how to handle those things and go through them. When you're not, you can't. Years ago, I served as a chaplain for, volunteer chaplain for 3 years at Norfolk General Hospital on an adjunct staff. And they said I was a glutton for punishment because I would go on Friday nights. I'd spend Friday nights at the hospital and be there, you know, to work with the trauma team and any other incidents that would happen. And one Friday night, had a fella come in, been shot. And they were working on him back there, but he didn't make it. Some of his family was there. Oh, when they were told that, you couldn't believe. They were just screaming and hollering, rolling in the floor. The nurse had to get him out there and give some of them shots, just calm them down. They couldn't handle it. But then in another case, a fella was brought in by helicopter. He had had a heart attack, and he was with his family. They were vacationing down on the Outer Banks. He had a heart attack, and of course the Nightingale went down from Norfolk General Hospital, picked him up, and brought him back to the hospital. So the family, it had to take time to get there because they had to drive from the Outer Banks back up to the hospital. It was, you know, 1.5-2 hours away. So he got there, and of course in the meantime he did not make it. So when the family get there, sit with him and share with him that he did not make it. Now there was a few tears, of course, you know, that's expected. But then there was a peace about it. And I suspected it, but so I went ahead and I talked with him, though. The man was a Christian and is a Baptist deacon. And they had a peace of knowing where he went. So that's the difference. When you have faith, you can handle it. If you don't, you can't. Do you know him today? Is he helping you through all the difficult times of life and the good times? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for the example of Job. To see that Job was an excellent man who worshiped you, praised you, even during the troubled times of his life, the devastating times, the catastrophes. But to know he continually worshiped you, and to know that one day he prospered again. And we know that all because he loved and cared for you, you saw him through. And we know that if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will have eternal life. We will be forgiven of our sins and our shortcomings. And we will have one to work with us and to see us through the good and the bad until someday we end up with you in eternity. And we pray not a soul would leave here today without knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Page 340, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Received a word today. Go home, look at Job in there. This wasn't the end of his troubles. He had some more things. In fact, I always think about this. Who needs enemies when you got a wife like he had and friends like he had? Because they all told him to curse God and forget it, but he wouldn't do it. So anyway, Job is a book of wisdom. So anyway, get a chance to look at some of that. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today. And we pray that you will go with us out into the world and protect us and watch over us and help us to be servants for you and reach others for you. For this we all pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. And I'll be right here today. Okay.